It's showtime. Hey, what up? It's old Kenny here with you for a brand new episode of the Kenny Ho Show. How are you? I hope all is well. How am I doing, you ask? Oh, how nice of you. Nobody ever asked me that. Do you notice I'm like delirious, like tiredly delirious? Because I started my new job and it's rough. It's a nice place. I like the people. The job is certainly challenging, but oh my God, it is a lot of work. It is a very labor-intensive job. Probably the most labor-intensive job, maybe not in my life, but certainly in the past, 10, 15 years maybe. 'Cause I've been off on the weekend because I didn't have to show up to my second job this week. So I'm going to have a few days off, and thank goodness, right? And this was part of the plan, because I've talked about it in previous episodes. Right now, the entire world seems like they're hiring. Maybe not in, like, third world countries where jobs are, you know, so rare, but certainly in the North America. Right now, everybody's looking to hire and everybody's bending over backwards to get people into their jobs, right? Who was I talking to? I was talking to my buddy Sheed. He's like, oh man, Kenny, I've been reading reports that, you know, owners and hiring managers or whatever, they've interviewed people, they've liked these people, the people seem to like, you know, the what they'd be getting out of this job, and they've shaken hands on it, agreed to show up on Monday. But come Monday, nobody shows up. So this new place I'm working at is no different. They definitely need new people. And they definitely want you for full time. I interviewed for a handful of jobs. And usually in the past when I've interviewed for stuff, you know, it's you know, we'll get back to you. And oftentimes it's, okay, let's do a second interview. You know, I've never been up for, like, good, cushy jobs, so usually that's where it stops. But definitely, I know my brother's gone through, like, rounds and rounds of interviews, often a couple months of interviews. I've never had to do that, but I have gone through at least two interviews for some jobs, and then they usually have to call your references and whatever, and it's a process. It takes usually a month for that stuff to happen. But honestly, every job I interviewed for, they were less job interviews and more so what days can you work and when can you start? And the only interview that I had that it wasn't that, where it was like a legitimate old school, so tell me about yourself, what's your hobbies and interests, you know, that type of bullshit, you know, the standard interview. I only had one of those, and that job, that girl thought about not hiring me because I wasn't interested in full-time. That was it. Like, in the past, most jobs are like, well, we don't really want to have you full-time, we don't want to give you benefits and stuff, so if you're only interested in full-time, yeah, sorry, bud, you gotta look elsewhere. Whereas this job was like, oh, you don't want to work here 40 some odd hours a week? No, we need someone here 40 some odd hours a week. And this new job I got, they're doing the same thing. They were looking for a full-time guy, so I was when I was interviewing with them, I was like, oh yeah, no, I have another job, so I just wouldn't be able to do it for you guys, so. But then he's like, whoa, don't worry about that. Not so fast. Oh, you're willing to work a few days for us? I'm pretty sure that will be okay. Just let me make sure it's cool with the other partners, and we're good. I'm not working at a law firm, if that's what it sounded like, though. The other partners. I don't want to work for lawyers. Lawyers don't want me to work in for them. So it's we have a mutual agreement. I hate you, but you hate me. So far, so good. I'm just, like, beat up. Holy crap. After just a few days of working there, I've been so useless. I've just been laying more useless than usual. Yes, yes. But I'm, like, I'm just laying down all the time. I'm, like, hardly standing up ever. Like, me sitting right now, I have such bad posture. I'm, like, completely slumped over. I'm, like, I don't got juice for this. I'm going to do the Kenny Ho show, and then I'm going to go lay down for another half hour or something. So far, so good, though. The owners are really nice. They've bought everybody lunch for the past couple days. Which, after a couple days, already puts them two lunches bought ahead of the job I've been at for Lord knows how many years. And a lot of positive reassuring, like, good job, Kenny. Way to go. You're doing great. A lot of that, which goes a long way. Turns out I have a real low self-esteem. And when people are like, you're doing good, I'm like, am I? Nobody's ever told me I'm doing good. Which, again, puts this place, however many good jobs, Kenny, ahead of the other job. Honestly, if this gig weren't such a hard labor gig, like literally backbreaking work, because the other day I had to put some money in my laundry card, and I dropped the card. I'm like, all right, let me just pick this up. And I bent over, and like the worst sharp pain went through my back that I've ever experienced. I'm like, oh, god damn, I don't know how long I can do this job. Of course, the place that, like, respects me and, like, treats me nice is a job that I probably can't stay at for all that long. I'd definitely leave the other job if this one weren't so rough on the body. But I'm also a firm believer, especially at my level, these low-level jobs where they don't necessarily have to treat you nice, because there's always some jabroni who needs a gig. And, you know, it's not like you need tons of skills to do what I do. Basically, what I'm saying is I'm easily replaced. Probably even on the Kenny Ho show. They could stick one of those, like, you know, well-put-together Asian guys. You know, the type of guy who you look at him, and not only is he handsome and tall, like Yao Ming, but he's you could tell he's just good at stuff. Like, he's confident, and then when he does whatever, it's like, oh, yeah, of course you're good at that too. Yeah, you could put one of those Asian guys in this chair, and nobody would be the wiser. In fact, the ratings would go through the roof. There'd be interviews and punchlines and, you know, stories about how those interviews and punchlines led to him betting the interviewee. So I was interviewing Lindsay Fonseca. I made her laugh so much that she's like, never mind my husband, I would like to try the Mellow Yellow. I'm like, you son of a bitch, that was my dream. Well, that's too bad, because I just out Kenny Ho'd Kenny Ho at the Kenny Ho show. But now, if you'll excuse me, I'm out to interview Elizabeth Olsen. And guess what? I plan on nailing her too. Over my dead body! And then he, like, kicks the shit out of me, because he's also good at martial arts. And as I'm dying, I can hear Elizabeth Olsen being like, oh my gosh, you're so funny. Insult to injury. Ugh. Yeah, fucking handsome Kenny Ho. I don't remember exactly how I got on this subject, but I think something along the lines of I'm easily replaced at everything. Oh, right. So, yeah, I'm easily replaceable. So I always have to have a backup job in case, A, it's not even A, they go in. I've never looked at it as, oh, yeah, just in case, like, they decide to get someone younger and more enthusiastic and way the hell less defeated than me. I better have a backup. I'm like, I don't really care. I live at home with my mama and papa, so as long as they don't croak, I'll continue to be able to have that situation. But it's more for me. I like to look at having two jobs as a, whoa there, hold your horses, bud. You think you're going to talk to me like that? You think I'm going to do that? Well, you thought wrong. I'm just going to go to my other job. Best of luck replacing me there. We already did so. Oh. It's not Handsome Kenny Ho, is it? Like, no, of course not. That guy's good at stuff. No, it's some other useless guy, but, you know, he's more or less you, except we prefer him because he's white. I'm very good, very good. But yeah, so far so good. But it's just been the first week. Second week, things could go real sideways. Good things can go bad in a hurry, but I guess sometimes bad things can go good in a hurry as well. I don't know. I don't know that I've experienced that. But certainly good situations can go away real quick. You know, one moment you could feel like, oh my goodness, this girl who cuts herself, this gorgeous, like, interesting, sweet, melodic speaking artist girl who cuts herself, looks like she may be down to clown with old Kenny. Oh my goodness, this is the best day. Oh no. I'm a little blindsided, but I'm not that surprised. But all of a sudden, she hates me. But it's not all perfect. You know, I think the people are really cool, really nice people. But the one knock on them, the one thing that stood out to me was the idolatry of celebrities there amongst basically everybody. Everybody is unbelievable. Like, the amount of talk about the celebrities they've met is unbelievable. And when I say meet, it's things like, oh, so who's the biggest celebrity you've met? Like, oh, well, this one time I was working at a cafe and the celebrity chef came in. My hands were shaking and he ordered a coffee from me. I almost messed it up. I was so nervous. I'm like, so what you're saying is, the celebrity who's clearly human because he had to come in and, you know, get a coffee to start his morning. And you're working the is that called a bar? They're baristas or whatever. So you're working there and the celebrity chef, who wasn't Gordon Ramsay, I had no idea who this person was, came up to you and was like, oh, yeah, so I'd like a double-double or something, right? And you're like, sure, Mr. Whatever, it'll be $3 or whatever, how much ever a coffee costs. And then 2 minutes later, you handed him said coffee. Maybe you didn't even hand him said coffee. Maybe your colleague handed him said coffee. Did you really meet him is what I'm trying to get at? It really just sounded like he bought something from the store you worked at and you saw him up close and personal. Not even personal. You saw him up close. Not personal. Even though the Michelle Branch meet and greet wasn't very personal, you know, it was a meet and greet. So I look at that and say, okay, I guess that's like the bare minimum for what meeting someone is. And, you know, we exchange names, right? Well, she wasn't like, oh, I'm Michelle. I mean, I'm in a lineup that cost me $130 for the privilege to be in the lineup to meet her. I know who Michelle Branch is, right? So she didn't need to say anything, but she did ask for my name for the autograph. It wasn't like, oh, I walked up to her and she's like, oh, hey, what's your name? Oh, pleasure to meet you. Nothing like that, you know? She seemed weirded out by me, to tell you the truth. But still, you know, at some point, you know, we took a picture together. I asked for a hug. She gave it to me and she asked for my name so she could sign my autograph. Bare minimum, she knows my name, you know? Whereas a barista would be like, so what's your name? Megan, okay. And then they write on your cup. Well, if Megan's cute, then she gets Megan with a heart on it. If you're a fat boy and you're unattractive, you might get, even if you're like, my name's Kenny, and they write on your cup, fatso, and they draw like three circles mounted on each other. I don't know, is that supposed to be the Marshmallow Man? Because if that's the reference, that's pretty cool. I can live with that. But if that's just like some random fat guy, that's some disrespect, you barista son of a bitch. You better believe I'm not tipping you. And you better be careful, eh? You better watch your step. Careful who you shit on, because you keep this up, somebody's gonna find your collection of Fleetwood Mac records and break them right in front of you, you hipster douchebag. I don't want to hate on this person. This is like a really cool chick. What a nice girl. All I'm saying is if I was in that situation and I was a barista, like making coffees and stuff, the only thing on my mind would be like, what the hell? Why am I a barista? What the hell am I doing here? I don't even like coffee. I don't know what I'm doing. How do I make these things? Oh, is that Gordon Ramsay? Never mind. I think Gordon Ramsay just ordered one of these things that I don't know how to make. Just never mind this not actually meeting them nonsense. Yeah, you saw them. They ordered something from you. But even celebrities that you do meet, your life isn't better afterwards. Well, I mean, it might be better for like a couple hours, because I remember after meeting Tiffany Alvord and I was delusional to what just happened. I thought everything went well until she started, you know, not responding or retweeting any of the stuff I posted to her, like that I tweeted to her. Yet she was like, not just retweeting, but like posting some security guard's photo on her Instagram. Being like, oh, look, this was one of my big fans. He came up to me and said he was a big fan. I'm like, that's some security guard. Like, no, I interviewed you, lady. What the hell? How about some love for me? I told you I was a big fan. I was wearing your merchandise. But I digress. It's cool for a couple hours tops. Does not change your life. Now, if you're able to befriend these people, if they're close personal friends, that could be life-changing. Depending on how much clout they got in the world, right? How much pull they got. I don't want to make it sound like, oh, I'm a big deal, because let's face it, I'm not. And like that, I've like so many friends or celebrities and stuff. I don't. Have I met some people? Sure. Tiffany Alvord, Michelle Branch. But, you know, those were like a paid thing, so anyone can do that. But it's not even about meeting celebrities. It's just like giving a shit that you've met celebrities. Like, it doesn't matter. There's people. Like, don't make a big deal about it. If you have good people in your life, if you have like a great family, great friends, I would cherish that. I would like put my attention towards that. Because I do have a couple buddies who have been celebrities or are celebrities. Tasha was a big deal once upon a time. Wade might still be a big deal, but I don't really pay attention to what he does, because like it doesn't matter to me. It was never Wade the rock star. Wade's a cool freaking dude. The whole time I knew him, I think we talked about like his history in show business twice. Same thing with Tasha. We've talked maybe 2-3 times about, you know, her history in showbiz. Other than that, it's about, you know, hey, what are you up to? Like, not even professional, just like in life. What are you up to? Oh, how are your kids? How's your family? That type of stuff. And I'm not saying I'm close personal friends with them, because I'm not and have never been. I've just been buddies with them. They know who I am. You know, we've had personal conversations and such. I definitely don't live my life, you know, having these people above my actual friends. You know, I almost never ever think of either one of those two. Whereas here and there, I think of my buddies, Sheed, Shan, and Ty, you know. Now, don't get me wrong, if you do have friends who are celebrities, they can, and if they're your friends, they will offer you opportunities to do, you know, a different set of social things. Like with my buddy Sheed, it's like, hey, Kenny, you want to go to the McDonald's and grab a bite? Which the answer is always, of course, yes. God damn, I love me a McChicken. And a Filet-O-Fish, what up? But whereas with Tasha, it was, oh, hey, Kenny, you want to be in my music video? I'm like, yeah, I would, but except I have to fly to Vancouver. But as I said, these people are good people, nice people. They're looking out. And if their one flaw is, you know, one that unfortunately most of society has, in they love celebrities a little too much, put a little too much onus on who they've met, I can live with that. That's no big deal. Now, I'll never get caught up in it. If they ever ask me, so who's the biggest celebrity you've met? I'm like, well, I once met a school janitor who was employee of the month 6 months in a row. And everybody over there said he was a superstar. Does that count? Oh man, there's still a few things I want to talk about, but I talked about this this new job way the hell too much. I guess this is going to be a bit of a long episode. Why not? Firstly, I want to get to, I keep meaning to talk about this week in and week out, because I had all those doubts about Shang-Chi like a month ago or whatever, but since then I've been proven very wrong. Not only did the movie not suck, but it's made a lot of money, which is not necessarily connected. It doesn't always have to be connected. The Last Jedi made a lot of money, and it's a piece of shit of a movie. But Shang-Chi, not only did it make money, but it turns out, from everything I heard, real good movie. Which is no small feat, considering the fact that Awkwafina is in it, right? But way to go, Shang-Chi people. You're making Asian people everywhere proud. Which is not something I can say about me and the Kenny Ho Show. Although I was talking to my buddy Sheed the other night. And now, I don't know how accurate these numbers are, but I was telling him, and I'll tell you, that on my SoundCloud, over the past 3 months, so since like July, the numbers have been very good. The numbers have been, and I told him this, I'm like, getting close to selling out type numbers. Not like, oh, I can quit my jobs type of selling out, but maybe, you know, I can afford to, like, buy Baby Yodas and high-end Scarlet Witch toys without batting an eye type of selling out. Maybe I can get, like, a couple $100 from some advertisers. Basically, what I'm saying is, I'm warning you, don't be surprised if in a few months this will no longer be known as the Kenny Ho Show. Don't be surprised if moving forward, this show will be known as Rogaine Presents the Kenny Ho Show, right? I laugh at my own jokes. It's a sad existence I lead. And I'm not even kidding around. Like, if I'm telling you, any advertiser, because I was going to say, oh, Popeye's Chicken Presents the Kenny Ho Show. That's not selling out. That's just connecting a brand that I love with my own. Like, that is perfect synergy as far as I'm concerned. Like, if Casper Mattresses were like, yeah, would like to sponsor your show, I'd be like, of course. I love taking naps, and your product facilitates those naps. Now, I'd have to edit the copy a little bit, because if you remember back in the day during MTV Cribs every time they go into the master bedroom, they'll walk over to the bed and be like, this is where the magic happens. Now, if we do a cheesy piece of shit line like that in the Casper copy, I would definitely have to edit that a little bit. I could still say, this is where the magic happens. Magic being sweet ass sleep, right? Now, listen, let's say I'm making even $200 per ad read. That is not enough for me to get me a sweet ass girl, right? The only sweet ass that's going on is the sleep. But that wouldn't be selling out to me. I think selling out would be like if the Ku Klux Klan came to me and they're like, they're all right, fellow hillbilly. We'd like you to spread the good word. No guys and no Negroes. Then, of course, I would play it like I had a conscience. I'd be like, listen, I can't be saying things like that on my show. I cannot be providing this service to you. I cannot be offending the listenership with this filth. They're like, we'll give you $1,000 per ad. I'm like, that's a deal, bud. But I doubt I'm actually that close to selling out. I would not be surprised if I took the numbers I have now and got maybe like $10 an ad read for it, maybe. But certainly I'm not in the conversation for like thousands of dollars. Probably, realistically, not even hundreds. I would be surprised if anyone gave me $50 an ad read. But at this point, whatever. See, always give up in life. I mean, to an extent, right? Like, don't, like, flat out. Like, if I stopped Kenny Hosho, like, 5 years ago, I would have looked back and was like, oh, I never had any success whatsoever, like, number-wise. I can look at my barometer for my show and its success is different now. It's not based on numbers. It's based on what I do. But if had I given up 5 years ago, I would have looked at it and been like, oh, I felt like I had a good show, but there was never any numbers to show for it. Because even with YouTube, I can look back and be like, my very first video, I killed it. That thing had like, when I last checked, over 20,000 views. But always give up in the sense that whatever the idea of the barometer for success is, forget about it. Give up on that. Oh, you're supposed to be wealthy and successful? Forget about it. Don't gun for that. Because the thing with this new job is it pays super well. I had no idea going into it. I'm like, I picked this job literally because out of all the jobs I got offered, these guys seem the most legit. They seem like they stood for the right things and that I would be treated well. And I'm just like, yeah, I guess I need a second job. The first one by itself isn't enough. I'm like, all right, I'll come. I didn't know it was hard work as hell, but I also didn't know it's very well compensated for my work. So I don't know how long I can keep it up and keep this job, but I didn't gun for money. I'm being rewarded with money. So never freaking try for things like, you're supposed to find a girl, you're supposed to have kids and, you know, whatever, you're supposed to live that life. How many years did I gun for a girl and always ended up just with the worst case of the blues and the heartbreak, right? Now, I don't expect to still get one, but I certainly don't give a rat's ass anymore. And I feel like that puts me in a better position to get one, even though it makes no sense, right? So with numbers, honestly, podcasting, it's been a while since I've cared about the numbers. Not because I'm altruistic or anything like that. It's because the numbers have sucked so bad for so many years. It takes the piss out of your sails and you gotta move on from that barometer. Because I even looked. I looked past 3 months, the numbers have been really nice. But then I went back just even like 2 months before then, like 5 months ago. I think I had 83 listens the entire month. I'm like, what the hell? 83 listens per episode is bad, let alone an entire month. I need to look back to what episodes those were and not care whether I talked about the wrong stuff, quote unquote wrong stuff or not. If I talked about it, it probably made sense at the time. Because this is the Kenny Ho Show. I say and do whatever I want. I say and do whatever I please. Because it turns out you can't cancel a show that's already been canceled since day one. But there was one thing, part of the Kenny Ho Show brand, that I never really cared for, that I made two or three different attempts to try to get it going, but it was just never going to happen because I have zero interest in it. And that was the former thekennyhoshow.com. I don't suspect you've been keeping up with that, because even I haven't kept up with it. Like, literally, I'm pretty sure the last year that I had that up, I don't think I posted anything on it. I just had it just because I'm like, well, I should probably own the domain to thekennyhoshow.com just in case I ever need it. But then year after year, I'm like, when the hell am I going to need this? Like, I don't see how this translates into what I want. Let's say even if somehow this blog became a big deal, I don't like blogging. Unless people, you know, read the blog and then also went on to listen to the podcast. But then I'd still have to blog. I'd still have to write. And the thing with writing is I enjoy writing. I enjoy writing probably more than the next guy, is how much I enjoy writing. But writing blogs was never fun to me. Because Kenny Ho Show, at least at this point in the game, is I want to do an episode of the Kenny Ho Show. So let's just sit down, turn on a mic, and do a Kenny Ho Show. Something should happen, you know. It may not happen moving forward because I'm so goddamn tired from this job. Like, I'm not even thinking straight. I remember talking to one of my colleagues the other day, and I'm trying to say something. I'm like, what are those words? Like, what am I saying right now? Like, this phrase is not real. And I knew it, but I'm like, I don't know what the actual phrase is. But with a blog, I always had to have a game plan. I can't just sit down, start writing, and hope for the best. So long story short, I just didn't see the value in having the KennyHoShow.com. So, I don't remember when it expired, but like towards the end of the year, I think it was around Christmas time that it expired. I just let it expire. I didn't renew the domain. And yesterday I was listening to an old episode of Tell 'Em Steve Dave where they had some domain host service advertised with them. And it sounded like, for whatever reason, it sounded like you could just buy it one off. It's like it was really cheap just to buy it out. I'm like, oh, okay, I could do that. Let me just go buy it out. So I looked it up. I looked up if thekennyhoshow.com was still around, and it turns out it is not. Even though I couldn't see the value in it, some other Chinese guy did because they bought it. Because I'm like, oh, it's not available. Like, what is it now? I wonder. I'm thinking right now, I'm like, was it a fan site? No, that never crossed my mind. Not for a second was I like, oh, I must have a super fan out there who made a Kenny Ho Show super fan site. It's not. It's like whoever did it, whether it's some conglomerate or one dude who's just going around collecting, quite frankly, useless domain names. It's just there, and like it's all in Chinese, so I'm assuming it's someone out of China. And I guess it's there hoping that I would show up one day and buy it back from him. And for a second, I'm like, oh no, that's too bad, because if I could have just bought it like outright, I would have just bought it outright. Like, because on this, I won't advertise them. When it's time to sell out, I'll advertise them. But this site, they had like a sale. It was like $5 for the domain. I'm like, oh, shoot. If I had known a few months earlier, I would just paid $5 and bought it. It turns out you can't own the domain forever. You can pay like for 10 years or something up front, but you can't just like drop $100 and then it's yours forever. There's no service like that. It's like a recurring monetization thing. And so I stand by my decision. I do not regret letting it go. Because had it been, if I just paid the $5, I could have had the KennyHoShow.com forever, then I would have been like, oh, damn, if I knew, I would have. But the fact that it's every single year I have to pay for it, and it's not always going to be $5. I caught a sale like yesterday, so it's usually a lot more than that. But here's the thing. I don't know who bought it. Not interested in knowing who bought it. I have to assume it's a company. There's no way it's one guy going around just buying these things. Because even at $5, it adds up. And it's usually not $5. It's usually at least 20. I was paying like 30 for it, but I also had like the blogging service. So that's what that was about. I can't imagine it's a listener. I can't imagine it's someone who's a fan of the show. Because if they are, what the hell, dude? You stabbed me in the back. Like a true fan, a true OG listener of this show would have bought the thing and made a fan site, right? Or bare minimum, just like giving it back to me. Be like, yes, we know that, you know, you're quite poor, and you know, things like this are beyond your means, so why don't you hang on to this, old Kenny? A small price to pay for the couple of good jokes you provide me per week. Couple laughs that I have, thanks to you. But secondly, if they are a fan and they're hoping to make a couple bucks off of me, I'm like, what kind of SOB are you? Like, if I grabbed TiffanyAlvord.com like early on, just so nobody else could have it, and she asked for it, I'd just give it back to her. You know, hopefully she says thank you. You know, that's the least she could do, and that's also as much as I would expect from her. But I don't imagine it's somebody who listens to the show. How they know about the Kenny Ho show is beyond me. Why they grabbed it is even further out of my grasp. Because I look at my SoundCloud numbers. There's nobody from China. There's nobody from Hong Kong. Whoever it was, it has to be just a business move for them. They're like, well, this show exists. And this Kenny Ho show fella is such a damn fool. He didn't even jump on his own domain. Someday he's gonna come crawling and pay big money for it back. Little do they know, I had it for at least 5 years and saw so little value in it. Because as I said, I paid like $30 a year, which even to me is not exactly a lot of money. It's just money. I'm like, it's not, I could do better things with it. So even on my level is not a lot of money. Yet I saw so little value in owning my own domain name that I just gave it up. Who gives a shit? It's 2021. I don't know. Outside of commerce, why does anybody have a website? Like back in the day, websites was the only game in town, right? I remember growing up and going to HilaryDuff.com, WWF.com, the wrestling one, not the panda one. Although, hey, I love the panda one too. I had a lot of favorite websites is what I'm trying to say, and I went to all of them. But here in 2021, the only websites I ever go on is Amazon, Best Buy, and if I use it on my computer, not my phone, Instagram.com and Twitter.com, I suppose. That's it. Social media has replaced websites. Apps have replaced websites. As I said, outside of commerce, I don't see all that much value in a website, at least not for me. And I feel like that's probably a lot of people's like web surfing habits now. They go through their IG, they go through their Facebook, they go through their Twitter, they go through their TikTok, and that's probably all the time you have for that shit. Because if anybody ever needs to contact me for anything, Twitter's a social media thing, keyword being social. People could reach out to me, they don't. And probably for the better, because careful what you wish for. I do not want people reaching out to me. Especially if you got something shitty to say, don't reach out to me. If you love the show, retweet the show, like the show, keep listening to the show. But I don't need to hear from anybody. But like, let's say if there's a business thing, they could reach out to me through Twitter. They could tweet at me. I don't need a website. If these guys think for a second that I'm going to show up one day, even if I'm at the point where I can sell out and make thousands of dollars per ad read, I would never, ever offer these guys any kind of money to try to buy back the domain. So I don't know how much they've bought that for, like if they bought it for 10 years. Whoever made that call, they made a mistake, because I'm never showing up with a check, let alone a blank check, and trying to get that domain back. I do not care. It is, well, I had it for years and I did not give a shit. Now that is not in my hands, I do not give a shit, nor will I ever try to get it back. So whatever it costs them, and I hope they did buy it for 10 years, I hope they paid the premium. I hope they paid like $30 for the next 10 years. I'm like, you ain't getting that cash back, bud. You screwed up. Eat my shorts. All right, that's it. That's episode 321 of the coolest podcast ever, The Kenny Ho Show. If I'm still able to, I'll talk to you next week. Till then, take care of yourself. Toodles.